Confidence to Lead is the podcast for leaders of growing companies. Providing insights, advice, and information, it will empower you to make bold decisions in your business. Here's your host, Sarah Bartholomews, CEO of U Legal.
Welcome back to Confidence to Lead. This is episode 12, and today we're going to look at personal liability and some of the legislation that creates personal and even criminal liability for directors. I've already discussed the concept of a company being a separate legal entity. When people are encouraged to become a director or to formalise their business in the structure of a company, this concept is frequently touted as one of the benefits. The separate legal entity acts as a shield, protecting the directors from liability and protecting their personal assets. As with most things legal, there are exceptions to the separate legal entity principle. In certain circumstances, the separate legal entity principle will not apply, and a director may become personally liable for breaches of the law by the company. So today we're going to talk about examples in which directors of Australian companies might become personally liable for breaches by the company, because I'm sure that's of great interest to you. The Competition and Consumer Act 2012 contains the Australian Consumer Law. This national piece of legislation offers protection to consumers and replaces a host of state, territory and national laws and puts them into one cohesive package. Section 29 specifically forbids the making of false or misleading representations in respect of supply or possible supply of goods and services. Businesses found breaching this section may be held liable for large financial penalties. Most importantly, a director may be found personally liable under this section. The consequence is that a director could be required to pay penalties, not only for each contravention, but also for any legal costs involved in defending the alleged breach. The company is forbidden from indemnifying the director in this situation. This means the company cannot reimburse the director or in any other way protect him or her from personal loss. In 2012, in a case between the Australian Competition and Consumer Commission and a company called Energy Watch Proprietary Limited, Energy Watch made six types of false and misleading representations in eight advertisements across various forms of media. The director also personally made claims in radio broadcasts in Brisbane. The court held that Energy Watch and its director, via the radio advertisement, falsely gave the impression that Energy Watch compared energy prices more generally than it actually did. The court imposed a $65,000 fine on the director personally because of his appearance in the advertisement as the figurehead of the company, thereby, they said, giving greater gravitas to the false and misleading content than if the radio advertisement had simply been spoken by a voiceover actor. Depending on the circumstances of each case, both criminal and civil penalties may be imposed on the director for breaches of this kind. There is an occasional but persistent misconception among business and laypeople that agencies such as the ACCC tend to pursue action against large corporations with deep pockets. Another misconception is that it is only organisations like these that breach their obligations, whether intentionally or otherwise. This is not the case. Equally damaging is the myth that the ACCC will be lenient on small or so-called mum and dad companies. Again, this is not the case. As an example, in 2013, a small service company run by a single mother was found to have breached the provisions of the consumer law. The company misrepresented to its clients their cooling off rights to refunds in what was deemed to be, as it wasn't classically so, a door-to-door selling situation. The consequences? A $10,000 penalty had to be paid to the ACCC and an injunction was issued requiring the company to explain the situation to each affected client and offer a refund on the service purchase. Not only is this embarrassing, but potentially fatal for a small company. The bottom line is that breaches of the consumer law can be devastating to any business, and such businesses can place directors at personal risk. Next up, we have the Commonwealth Health and Safety Legislation, which applies in all states and territories regarding the health and safety of workers. This piece of legislation imposes a duty on officers to ensure compliance with the obligations imposed under the Work Health and Safety Act. It is a positive duty imposed on directors and officers of the company to proactively exercise due diligence in matters regarding workplace health and safety. Prior to this, the individual responsibility of directors differed in accordance with the varying state and territory legislations. Because a company acts through its officers, Claims of breaches of this Act can be made against directors and employees. The duty to exercise due diligence in workplace health and safety matters is an acknowledgement of the weight and influence that officers carry within a company. It also shows how it permeates the entire organisational structure. To date, the Workplace Health and Safety Act has been adopted by all states except Victoria and Western Australia. Directors must handle occupational health and safety laws so far as is reasonably practicable. This phrase can be understood as meaning what a person is reasonably able to do. The primary duties imposed on directors and officers are to provide a safe work environment, maintain safe plant and structures, provide and maintain safe systems of work, provide adequate facilities for the welfare of workers, and provide information, training, instructions, and supervision necessary to protect workers from risks to their health and safety. If a director is found to be in breach of workplace health and safety laws, the penalties that may be imposed are divided into three categories. A person commits a Category 1 offence if that person has a health and safety duty and, without reasonable excuse, engages in conduct that exposes another individual to whom that duty is owed to a risk of death or serious injury or illness, and that person is reckless as to the risk of an individual of death or serious injury or illness. A penalty of $600,000 or 5 years imprisonment or both may be imposed on the erring director. So, Jack, our director of the World Proprietary Limited, goes up the hill to fetch a pail of water. On the way up, he realises that the path is in dire need of repair. It's broken, uneven, and the handrails are wobbly. Jack falls down and breaks his crown. Jack really wants the water, so he sends Jill up to the well, who, of course, comes tumbling after. Jack has shown recklessness and complete disregard for the safety of Jill. On the other hand, a person commits a Category 2 offence if that person has a health and safety duty and fails to comply with the duty, and the failure exposes an individual to the risk of death or serious injury or illness. In this case, a $300,000 penalty may be imposed on the director. Lastly, a person commits a Category 3 offence if that person has a health and safety duty and fails to comply with that duty. Category 3 has an imposable penalty of $100,000. In all states, except Victoria and Western Australia, where a company violates one of the Health and Safety Acts, directors will also be deemed to be in breach of the Occupational Health and Safety Act unless they're able to satisfy a court otherwise. What this means is that directors who violate one of the acts will automatically be found in breach. They would need to satisfy the court either that they could not influence relevant conduct of the company or that they used due diligence to prevent the contravention of the company. Again, breaching workplace health and safety laws exposes a director to civil or criminal liability. It is important to note that it is not necessary for the company to be prosecuted for a breach or even for an incident to have occurred. You can protect yourself from personal liability by exercising and showing due diligence in fulfilling your roles. You need to demonstrate that obligations are identified and responsibilities appropriately allocated, including reporting, auditing, and accountability. What's next? Environmental protection laws. Environmental protection laws are enacted in the state and not at federal level. Consequently, each state in Australia will have a different regime. Each of these state regimes will impose some kind of personal penalty on directors for environmental offences committed by their company. It is therefore important that directors are aware of the environmental requirements of each of the states that they operate in. A thorough environmental compliance system should be established for the company. And finally, the one we all hate, tax. Under the director penalty regime of the tax office, directors may be prosecuted personally for tax offences committed by the company. This personal liability is limited to the obligations of the company to make pay-as-you-go withholding payments and superannuation guarantee payments. Personal liability is incurred in these instances to reflect the importance of the payments to be made. Naturally, a government is careful to protect its income stream. It is therefore crucial that directors ensure that their company is lodging tax returns and paying tax obligations on time. We're not going to go into an in-depth discussion of the process undertaken by the ATO against libel directors. It's an entire podcast for another day. However, the following points are notable. The personal liability imposed on a director will be a penalty equal to the amount owed by the company. There are benefits to covering and reporting to the ATO any liabilities as soon as possible. If a liability is reported within 3 months of the due date, there are several options available to a director to discharge the penalty. If, however, the liability was not reported within 3 months, the only option available to discharge the penalty is payment of the debt. In either instance, if no action is taken within 21 days of receiving the notice, the penalty will not have been discharged and the director will be fully liable for the payment. Directors should engage with the ATO as soon as possible to negotiate the payment of a debt. The ATO is more likely to issue director penalty notices if a director has not engaged with it in an effort to resolve the issue. It's also worth noting that even if you're no longer a director or are a newly appointed director, whether the failure to pay may have occurred prior to your appointment, a director penalty may still apply to you. If you have recently begun your tenure as a director in an established company, it's worthwhile checking your ATO compliance. In addition to personal liability against the ATO, directors also have a personal obligation to ensure that their company meets all of the requirements of the superannuation guarantee scheme. Failure of the company to pay its superannuation liability on the due date will make the erring director personally liable for the amount equal to the unpaid amount. A director may also be criminally liable under the common law relating to theft and fraud. So, for all our directors and aspiring directors, in addition to your duties in the Corporations Act, these are areas of law that can give rise to some hefty personal liability, including criminal consequences. Join us in the next episode for a look at the specific and special arrangements for directors of not-for-profit organisations. If you have any questions about this episode or would like to get in touch, our contact details are on our website, ulegal.com.au. Otherwise, I look forward to chatting to you next week about financial obligations and insurance. Chat to you then.